So you've had a few days to decompress. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Wait, but
Yeah.
you gotta go to work today?
Yeah, we have a lock-in at midnight, and they got a lot of setup needs, so I got to get back there around 10 o'clock.
That fucking sucks.
Nah, this happens every year.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess it's only once a year. Yeah, I got my little
Nah.
dragon shot glass here from Wales.
This.
I don't know why I'm putting it at the camera. The people at home can't see it. I've been thinking about it. Yeah, all right. So I guess we should do our fucking little introduction. It's fucking Twostonians, man. It's just me and Joe. Finally.
Yeah.
I like having guests, but it's the best when it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
Just the two of us. So we're doing a little experiment because I've been fucking crazy busy, and then Joe's always busy. But I asked Joe to just come up with topics, and I don't know what they are ahead of time. So I'm just going to be reacting based on tequila. Polar seltzer water with booze in it, the kind that comes made with booze in it. What are these things called? My wife loves these. Spiked seltzers, that's what they are.
Okay.
And what is this? And a legal weed called Novocaine. So
Okay.
yeah, bro, legal weed now.
Oh yeah, that's right. Y'all got it like just straight up now.
Just down the street at the store, I just walk in and
Yeah.
just get an eighth. It's fucking crazy. Like
You just
it's the most and it's crazily the most, in a way that's both affirming, but also like, huh, maybe it isn't. Like by far the most diverse place I've been
Yeah.
in Worcester. Like in terms of like presumably socioeconomic class, interests, age,
Yeah.
race, you know, it's just the most random ass group of people I ever see in that store every time. From people in their 50s and 60s that are clearly like old school hippies waiting for this to happen, and like 21-year-old college girls who are just like on their way to their next party and they're all like dressed up to go to the weed store. It's just the
No.
craziest cross section of people. And I've never been in a place where everybody, from the workers to the cops in the parking garage to the people shopping there for their overpriced weed, are so fucking happy to be there together.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny.
Man.
I'm gonna take you when you come up.
Okay. Well, could these dispensaries end Massachusetts
No,
racism? No.
but it'll mellow it out. It'll mellow that shit out, man.
No.
Who know, but you know what? Fuck it. Why we? Yes, we can fucking save the world. Yeah, we can save the world. I don't think it should just be legal to smoke weed. I think it should be fucking mandatory.
Well, yeah, like it's a little unrelated but related. Howie Long's son, Chris Long, just retired from the NFL today, and he talked about how
You have
he's.
the Eagles?
Yeah, he was on the Eagles. He was on the Patriots, then the Eagles. He won two back-to-back Super Bowls.
That's awesome.
Yeah, two different teams back-to-back Super Bowls. The guy
That's
had a
dope.
great career, and he's like quote unquote woke. You know, like he's always saying the right thing, and he gets. It's funny, but I got off work early today because I'm going back later. So I watched Bomani and Pablo, and Bomani was talking about it, and he was like, "Yeah, man, like this guy gets to talk about it because he's a white dude. It's like the respect you get off from the jump just for being a white dude. Like he gets to talk about this stuff in a way that no other athlete gets to because he's a
Yeah.
white dude and he's a heritage white dude. So like he has a legacy, you know, like his dad was a player. Like he gets so much respect just, you know, from the G just good to be white. But he was talking about weed and how he smoked weed and how it really helped him cope with pain and he just liked smoking weed. But he knew for 2 months out of the year he couldn't smoke. And
Right.
then he had to do opioids. Because
God.
that was legal in the eyes of the NFL. So he had to do worse drugs because that was okay with him. And then as soon as it was, he didn't have to get tested anymore, he would go back to just smoking weed. So it's entered a conversation with the NFL now if they should let the athletes smoke weed. So it's just, it's interesting how just the conversation on weed is getting bigger and bigger. Because if the NFL starts letting them smoke weed, like, that seems like a huge barrier that's been down, that's taken down for marijuana prohibition.
There's a lot to respond to what you just said. Yeah. First of all, going all the way back, Bomani Pablo, it's High Noon, is that what it's called?
Yeah, High Noon.
I have only seen that show a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fucking great both times.
Yeah.
I just don't have the time to watch, like, sports shows because I listen to sports podcasts. I read The Athletic. Like, I don't have any more time. If I have time, it's because it's just for the jump because I love Amin, right? Yeah. And I love Rachel Nichols. And even then, I only watch it, like, once a week. So I haven't got a chance to see it. But, man, Pablo and Bomani, man, what a fucking awesome pairing that is.
Yeah.
In terms of Chris Long and his wokeness and, you know, being a legacy white dude, you know, in keeping of the spirit of weed will save the world, right? Fucking, I'll say this, that's an appropriate use of your privilege, even if he's not using it in that level of, like, I'm aware, consciously using my privilege in a strategic way. He's not David Hogue, right?
Yeah.
But still, like, it's irritating. Like, fuck, we've been saying this for fucking years, you know? And now this dude comes along and is like, hey, have y'all heard about weed? Like, fuck. Yes, we have, in fact. We have heard about it. So that's a little frustrating. But, man, if it loosens the strains, I mean, like, as much as it sucks, people of color stand to benefit the most from a recalibration of our culture. I'm already pissed that all the white people are going to be making money off of it.
They're currently making all the money off of it.
I will say this. It was a very integrated staff at Good Chemistry where...
Yeah, it's probably still owned by a white dude.
Probably. Yeah. But it's still, this is Massachusetts, and they had gotten all white people, no one would have batted an eye, right?
Yeah. No.
And if they had gotten all brown people, they never would have opened.
No.
But with that being said, what you said about the NFL, one of my beats of the NFL, one of many... we won't get into that, but one of the reasons I stopped watching is because for a while you legit got in more trouble for smoking a blunt than hitting your wife, and that was fucking bullshit, so I was out.
It's like, still like current, that's still a current thing.
You're out. You hit your wife, how hard, you know? How long have y'all been married? Like, all these contextual questions to try to excuse it in some way, right? But part of that, and let's be real here, is who watches the NFL. Like, there's a substantial portion that is just this red statey bro conservative, right?
No.
There's multiple versions of conservative. This is a very specific one. This is tailgatey. Like, it's funny you said that. Right before we talked, I was watching that clip from the Bucks tonight. The Bucks are playing right now. We're missing
it.
Where the center for the Packers was sitting courtside, and he chugs two beers, right? That's like a thing now. Celebrities are chugging booze. First of all, I sort of love it. Like, Sophie Turner chugged a glass of wine. I was like, dang, I'm in love, Sophie Turner. Like, she just crushed it, like a full glass of wine. Like, it was nothing. I was like, dang. And then this dude did two beers. I was like, right on. And then they zoomed to Aaron Rodgers, and he could do half, and then he punked out. I was like, see, man, that's, you haven't won a championship in a while. That's what I thought in my head.
You mean he still won a championship?
Yeah, I know. But coming around, you know what I'm talking about? That sort of bro-ish, real hetero dude culture that is sometimes obstinate for the sake of obstinate. And if you can get, and sometimes, and those are like ready-made conservative allies for getting weed to be treated correctly in the culture. And I've always said, you don't have to legalize, but you do have to decriminalize. Like, that is, I think, a moral stance. I think you should legalize for every obvious reason. But if you don't fucking feel like it because you're, you know, in the Stone Ages, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
That joke was brought to you by Novocaine. Thank you for the good people that Good Chemistry. Mm-hmm. But they also, those dudes are often real hypocritical because they also smoke weed, and also number one constituency of people who gets away with smoking weed, right? So if the NFL, and they will follow the NFL. So if the NFL loosens up and embraces marijuana, they will follow suit because ultimately that group is like, for all their bluster, or they're just their followers, right? So they'll follow with the NFL's lead, I believe. I actually think that the NBA needs to jump on this because that one is that is the obvious place to be quote unquote woke, right? Like the NBA has always been, a little bit ahead of the curve. It hasn't been very hard to be ahead of the curve in front of the MLB or the NFL, right? But I don't know. I think that the NBA should embrace it too, but the NFL embracing it would be good for everybody.
And the NBA can't because it's already the most blackest league. And they still court those conservative white dollars. Like, they can't. The NFL is powerful enough, they could change opinions about it. You know what I mean? Like, the NBA is still bad. Like, the NBA still has a big battle against the inherent racism against the league. Like, when you look at somebody like Clay Travis. Like, Clay Travis this past week tweeted about the Bucks-Raptors game was down 50%. Viewership to last year. He's like, it's you know, he just started talking shit. This is one of his dog, like his famous dog whistles.
Wait, who?
Clay Travis. Do you know Clay Travis?
In my head, it sounds like a country singer's name. In my head, no. I thought you said Clay Davis.
No.
I was like, what?
No.
Like, Clay
no.
Davis, you know, you no. smoke weed.
Clay Travis is pretty much a right-wing troll who's given a platform on Fox Sports.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but he's got a pretty powerful platform. He's like if PFT Commenter wasn't a satire.
No.
Yeah. He's that. But he was trying to like say so he was saying like, you know, hockey dudes are the toughest. Baseball's doing better than the NBA. The NBA is the weakest league or whatever. But he was trying to make a point out of that because that's what the NBA is up against. Dudes like that who are always putting it down, especially dudes with huge platforms. You'll have fucking Clay Travis, Will Cain, like those kind of guys, they have the biggest platforms because they're white dudes who complain about everything.
I just feel, I mean, I see your point. Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with it. Yeah. I just feel like they're underestimating the power of not trying to accommodate that and how many people would be on board because of that, right? Part of the reason the NFL has been so successful with that particular demographic, right? Like, you're never going to win them over by just sort of, like, downplaying, by being blackish. You're never going to win them over, right? You're only going to win them over if you just become a white sport, like, with white ideologies and white priorities like the NFL did. The NBA will never become that, right? So it's almost like the Democratic Party, quit half-assing it, just embrace the other side.
But the NBA, the thing with the NBA is the NBA is all about narrative. Like, the game is pretty much secondary to the narrative that is the NBA. Like, the games are cool. Like, they're awesome. I love basketball. But we're more interested in where KD's going next summer. Like, we're more interested in the behind-the-scenes drama. It's like they have that show Game of Zones. But that's like, yeah, that's the most accurate representation of the NBA.
Is that shit good? I've never seen it.
They're funny, but it's just it's the messy bitch sport. It's the soap opera sport.
It really is. And like, I
that's why we watch The Jump. Too. Like, it's so much. Like, it's so much about talking about like the mindset of this guy. Like, it's built on a cult of personality. Like, it's the NBA is built like that, so they can't afford Clay Travis talking about weed in the NBA. where the NFL can, because the NFL is just a different beast. It's always top dog. It's going to be top dog for the next probably 10 to 15 years. But the NBA plays better globally. The NFL is only big here. You know,
that's a good point. Right. Yeah. My dream has always been for a global NBA league. Like, I really want that.
Yeah.
Where divisions are just continental or something, or maybe even some kind of World Cup situation. But
I wish FIBA was a bigger deal.
FIBA basketball.
The basketball World Cup. I wish it was a bigger deal.
Yeah, the problem is
the Olympics is the biggest one, but I kind of wish like every 2 years like we had like a giant worldwide basketball tournament.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I guess we do have the Olympics technically, but the problem is that we just crush it all the time because all the good players are here, which is why I would like to see them absorb the EuroLeague one, the one with Spain in it. Is that the People League? That one. Absorb that one or come together the way we absorb the ABA.
Yeah.
And have that become a thing. So that's a good point.
Have the champions play each other at the end of the year.
That'd be awesome. Cool, yeah, that'd be fucking super dope. And then have it and make it a way but to facilitate a real like parity, and we're getting close to the point where like this could be sustainable to some extent, is there's got to be something to create a level of parity between the two teams, between the two leagues. And the only way that I can think to achieve that is to have our players move over there.
Yeah.
And I'm not against that, but we're not quite at the talent rich level that we need to be to sustain twice as many teams. But yeah. Like, I can't remember a time since maybe the 90s, but I was a teenager, so what do I really remember that the NBA was this talent rich? So I don't know, maybe.
I think it's more talented now, actually.
I want to say that too, but yeah. I also don't trust my 15-year-old brain to remember shit right.
Yeah. It's
like, how good was Mitch Richmond really?
He was really good. He was really good. Like, just from what we know about basketball, to be the best guy on an NBA basketball team means you're one of the best 30 basketball players in the world at that moment.
Right, right, right.
You 30, know, yeah. Like, no, he's really fucking good. Like, we underappreciate how good you have to be to play basketball professionally.
Except in the 70s when it was super easy.
I'm just kidding. I know you had the 70s. Argued about the 70s, but it was a different time. But now, like, guys are so athletic, like, you can't take plays off. Like, you can't have somebody like Charles Oakley just like, he's not going to get you any points. He's just going to go in there and beat up dudes. Like, you got to do more than that now. You got to be able to shoot. Got to be able to screen. You got to be able to roll. Like, you got to have so much now.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Like I said, it's just, but like, I don't know how much I really remember. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. I was a kid. It was Michael Jordan, Hakeem. That was, you know, yes. That was it. That was everything.
This is part of the reason this is a hot take. And were we talking about weed? I think we kind of in this meta way we still are.
Yeah, we weed to NFL to NBA to this.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, there's a part of me, I've been talking to myself in my head, it's been weird not having LeBron in the playoffs this year, so I've had a chance to reflect on him. And, man, I'm leaning hard in him being the GOAT. I don't know why recently.
Yeah.
It's just the 8 straight finals, championships on 2 teams. The fact we keep talking about, like, on so many podcasts, to what extent does the Golden State Warriors need KD? And they don't, unless LeBron has a full strong team, and then they do, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that they had to assemble basically the Avengers, 4 Hall of Famers probably, like, they're probably all going to make a Hall. They might have 5 Hall of Famers. They might have five, which would be which they had to do to beat one. Like, that's crazy. Because Kevin Love is borderline. Kyrie is borderline. They're not slam dunks. At the time, they definitely weren't made men, you know? Maybe Kevin Love, depending on how hard you come down on that guy's career. But, man, and I still believe that one of the reasons the East was shitty is because they fled LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
He was in their heads.
People always say, like, nobody fucking teamed up with LeBron with Jordan, or people wanted to play Jordan. Maybe, but that also means they thought they could beat Jordan, right?
Yeah.
They're not even bothering with LeBron. They're just going to the West. Like, they're just fucking getting the fuck out of town. Like, it's just crazy.
It's a mental thing, because there were some good teams that Jordan took out, like the Pacers and the Knicks. Like, it's a mental thing like that. There's something for that. LeBron's lost that mental edge because now he's with the biggest joke franchise now. So it's like, when he went to the Lakers, it was pretty much, oh, LeBron retired.
Basically, yeah. He's retired. Yeah, but dude, that dude in like 2009 won 66 games with Zdrunas Lukauskas and Delonte West on his starting lineup. Yeah. Like,
shit, last year in the finals, that's the best finals performance I've ever seen, and they got swept.
But
his numbers were unreal. Yeah. His last 4 finals have been unreal. Numbers no one's ever put up.
What I'm saying, man, like, I love MJ, and the 6 rings, like, it's hard to beat, but I feel like he wins every other category.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of anything Jordan is unquestionably better at. I don't know.
Jordan was a better shooter.
Yeah, okay, yeah, shooting.
Jordan was a way better shooter. Like, his shooting percentages are fucking insane.
Yeah, he's fucking great.
Yeah,
he's amazing, and he was putting up 36 in a very different era.
Oh yeah, in the most physical basketball ever played.
It's hard to pick. It's to the point where, like, I'm trying not to.
I don't think there's a wrong answer.
I think there is one, and I think I found it, and I'm just gonna go with a tie because it's the bitchiest answer you can pick. It's a tie. Like, oh no, that's no fun. That's not why we're here. But that's what I want to do.
Yeah. LeBron's career needs to be over, and I'm going to need a few years to think about it.
This is my first time thinking about it, and I'm just, like, I'm overwhelmed by it. Like, it's weird not having him in the playoffs. It's weird. In the time before the night, in flames of death, see it turn to rain, we ride towards the fire. When the darkness is falling down, in the times of tough or right, the sound of evil laughter falls around the world tonight. Fighting high, fighting on for the steel, through the wastelands evermore.
So we didn't talk about Game of Thrones for like 30 minutes. So let's talk about Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was the whole point of this.
This is Game the of official Thrones. Game of Thrones.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like between the two of us, neither one of us has been particularly invested in Game of Thrones. But I feel like maybe you were more than me in the sense that I feel like I try to talk everybody out of watching anymore. Like around season 5, I forget what was going on because I was bored of it. But nobody listened to me. And I kept going.
No, I've been hate watching. Like, I only watch it because I think it's been trash since the moment Tywin got murdered. Like, I've been very vocal about that. Like, I think, like, once that happened, there was, like, no real way place for them to go. And they didn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, they sort of been circling for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, they I guess they had Ramsay Bolton, but he feels like such a mini-boss that he didn't really...
He felt too forced. Same with with the Greyjoy. They tried to replace him with
super forced.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that final scene with him at all. Like, what are you like? What's going on? Like, why are you fighting? Like, why were they fighting? I didn't understand why they were fighting. Like, were they technically allies? I guess he saw him as a threat to the queen.
Yeah,
it felt like a. Felt like a weird flex when, like, the apocalypse is happening.
It also felt weird that they both so happened to end up on the same goddamn shore when one's coming from inside the city and one's coming from a wrecked boat outside. Like, come the fuck on. There was just too... It was just lazy. It was just... I think that's the biggest problem with the last couple of years. Not that their ideas were bad, because some of them were really bad. It's that they were lazy in their execution of them. It's like they knew where they wanted to get, and they didn't think about the natural ways to get there.
Yeah.
You know, whereas
that's exactly my read.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because, like, for example, let's start with, like, Daenerys, right?
Yeah.
Like, I guess I can see... before I say anything, like... George R. R. Martin basically said that this is the basic version of, like, an outline of his finale, is what he showed them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know to what level they've been fidelitous to it. I'm going to assume, for the sake of this conversation, that they have been, that this is an outline of what the books are going to end up doing. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I also think that we basically got the outline version filmed. Like, we just got the bullet points, right?
Yeah.
So, the narrative of Daenerys turning mad is better if you're really committed to it from the beginning and you're 50-50 about it. Like, I would talk about, like, there's so much in this season that could have worked great, but it just was rushed and, like, lazy. For example, Varys dying in the span of, like, 15 minutes, so we don't even have a chance to, like, know how we'll feel about it, and then he's dead, right? What if Varys dies at the end of the last season instead of the Jon Snow sex scene with Daenerys? What if that's the last thing we have to think about? So we're not thinking all summer or the whole year that we're gone from the show about, oh shit, has she crossed the line insufferably? Or instead we're thinking about, like, oh, isn't that weird that she fucked her nephew? Like, if we had done that instead and we had to sit in it, then as it starts to happen, we can start to panic and hope and feel despair. But it happens so quick that it's like, I don't know, I'm not feeling anything. It's just sort of happened.
Yeah. So I agree. I actually think my biggest problem with the Dany storyline is, one, I don't buy her turn. I don't buy the turn.
Oh, you don't buy her woman going crazy because her nephew won't give her dick?
No, I don't buy that. I don't buy it. Especially for, like, we've had 8 years with this character.
Like, that was the last straw?
Yeah.
That was the last straw.
Yeah, that was it. Like, all the shit this chick has been through, like, this is what did it. One, I just didn't buy it. And two, what I will say, so I think they missed their real opportunity. Because, like, in the last episode, the way they treat John, like, immediately after he kills her, they treat, like, oh, I did the right thing. Like, he's questioning it. When you've made it clear, like, oh, no, you had to fucking kill this chick. I think a better way to do it would have been, like, maybe she killed, like, she only kills Varys. But she kills him, and, like, it's real questionable, her killing it, and it ends on that. And then the next episode, John's mind's like, okay, can I let this happen? So then, because the last episode, the way it plays out, it seems like it was a big moral question, him doing it, when the show did not give you any reason for the question why he did it. Like, she's fucking crazy. It should have been something smaller scale. They had her do something on such a grand fucking scale where we've seen Cersei blow up the set. We've seen Arya feed a dude's children to him. Like, we've seen all these people do all this awful shit. She's the only one who really paid a consequence for it in the entire show.
Well, Cersei got hit with a brick.
Yeah, but she didn't really, like, she had 2 years of being the queen after she did that shit.
That's true.
And Tyrion set wildfire to fucking Ser Davos, and, like, all these people have done these awful things, and it felt like this, like, it just felt like the show kind of gave up on what it was at the end.
Or were they just following Martin's, you know, writing so closely that they had to do the steps? So, for example, if Daenerys is making these choices with Meereen, right, all these times where, like, she could have cracked, but she didn't, right? Because they'll point to that when they're saying, like, no, we've been laying these seeds. Like, you aren't laying shit. Yeah. George R. R. Martin was laying those. You didn't know he was doing it, and you tried to catch up too quick because you didn't realize that's what was happening. Yeah. Like, the story of her losing it could be told really well. Like, I really think it could be told really well. And to the point where you have to give the audience enough time to decide with John. Like, that's what you do. You force this into John, like you've done the whole time, and make him let tragedy after tragedy, minor tragedy after minor tragedy happen and accumulate that we start doubting too, and then it forces into the John perspective. But it happened in like 15 minutes. And then and the whole thing with, like, for example, there's even editing in the show already you could have done better. For example, what if instead of her just being like, fuck surrender, I'm going to genocide all these people.
Yeah.
And she's not attacking soldiers, she's attacking children and mothers and women, like the people she used to free, right?
Mm-hmm.
What could it take to her to switch that, pick that switch, go? And in the show, the way it's edited, it's just like they surrender and she was itching for a fight and she didn't get it. She's like, well, fuck it, I'm gonna fight you anyway, even though you've laid down your arms. And it's like, what? It just feels so out of character. What if they surrender, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Cersei brings up Melisandre, who's still alive, kills her after the surrender.
And then she snaps. That way makes way more sense. Way more sense.
Yeah.
Way more.
Right.
Yeah. There's just, yeah.
Just that.
Just that. One little tweak. Yeah. Because, like, and what's frustrating is this probably was the best made season. Like, just cinematography, the directing, and Emilia Clarke, who I've said was a bet, like, she gave a fucking a hell of a performance this last year. They just gave her terrible material, but, like, she really stepped up. Like, because I've always thought her and Jon Snow were the two weakest actors. Fucking not this year. She was great. He's still fucking just the most boring guy in the world. But she fucking was great.
And still fucking useless too. Just totally pointless, that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. and if that's what Martin's trying to say, like this male protagonist is kind of like just pointless, like that makes sense probably in the context of his books. In the show, it didn't work.
Right. Because he doesn't power Sansa and Arya.
He doesn't defeat the Night King.
Night King. Actually, let's go back to the Night King. Because I was... God damn
I'm still so pissed about that.
All right. So, just for the final scene where Arya kills him, the little stabby stab. Like, these deeds have been unkillable, and their leader has the most literal glass jaw I've ever fucking seen. Just one little shiv. That wouldn't have killed you or me.
No.
And it killed him instantly.
He turned into, he shattered.
Yeah, it was what was it? Is it, Harold and Kumar? Bullets, my only weakness.
Yes.
You know, right? Like, it was just like that. And it was just like, and the move was a callback. Like, I'm okay with, like, stab him in the head, in the eye, somewhere, like, it feels like, oh shit, that would kill a person, right? let them fight for a while first. Talk about rushed and lazy. Just let them fight for like 2 minutes, right? Her become. I was legit like, why wasn't she Bran? She should have been Bran, but with a disguise, like a shapeshift, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we're all surprised. Like that. Yeah. That would have even just that little.
Good. Yeah, that's a good plan. Or shoot him with an arrow. Why'd you shoot arrows? Just shoot arrows at him.
Yeah, just make Valerian steel or like drag. Yeah, just whatever.
Just blanket arrows at the motherfucker.
Yeah. And if all it took was like one little stab, did fucking Theon not have anything like Valerian? He seemed like to move like a regular person. Like he didn't seem like he was super fast or super strong. It was just so, and you know what really sucks is the episode before that where you have the sort of crossroads episode with all these random characters meeting and like this is going to be our last time together possibly blah 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 blah. That episode was fucking great. I was like, oh man, you guys are set up. Mm-hmm. I was so excited for the next one. I watched it live and Christina, my wife, she has never seen Game of Thrones, doesn't really know anything about it. I showed her one scene, just one scene, because she was in the room. I was like, you'd like this scene. It's the scene where Arya punks Gendry, and is like, just make my fucking sword. And he's like, oh, you know death? I'm like, oh, fuck you, Gendry.
Yeah.
Shut up, make my sword, and get naked. Like, that was, like, Arya sort of, like badass woman. I was like, babe, come watch this. You'll like this. She was like, oh, that was awesome and empowering. Like, she was like, she doesn't know anything about Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
And then the next day... next week was the Night King episode, right? Okay. And the review said that it was filmed like a horror movie, which it was. I thought it was great. Like the land bridge, the meat bridge was awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of missed opportunities there, but I'm not going to nitpick anymore. But that was the only episode she'd ever see. Watch, so she decided to watch it.
Okay.
It was like a horror movie.
Okay.
And she was like, how much do I need to know? And I was like, well, when they do a battle, they're usually not too invested in character or context. So if it's a legit horror movie, you might enjoy it. And she's like, okay, I'll watch it. This is, her first episode ever, right? And at the end, Arya kills the Night King. And she's like, Arya, that's the girl from the Jon Snow last time. I was like, yeah. She asked me that later. But as it was happening, here were my reactions. I'll never forget my reactions were because of Christina's reaction. Reaction when Arya pops out, I was like, oh shit, Arya. And then the real quick stab move and he shatters and my out loud went, that's it? That was all it took?
Yeah.
And Christina looked at me in an honest question. She said, was he important? And I said, I guess not.
No.
I guess not. Because he died so quickly.
No, he wasn't.
No, he fucking wasn't at all. No, man. It's so lazy.
Yeah.
Like, and as a completion of Arya's arc, I mostly like it because I was an Arya fan. Like Arya and Tyrion were two of my favorites, but it was so unsatisfying.
Yeah. It was such a letdown.
Yeah.
It was such a letdown. It's yeah. Let's talk about Bran.
What the fuck is there to say to Bran? I told one of my students. One of my students asked me, "Who's gonna win the throne?" I said, "I don't know, Bran, because that would be dumb." And then he won it. I was just like, he emailed me too. He's like, "Dude, you totally called it." I was like, "Man, don't give me credit."
No,
I was just saying whatever dumb thing. Bran, I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Tyrion thinks that's the best story. Says a lot about Tyrion, I guess.
I guess. And the whole thing about like that's the wheel she wanted to break. I was like, did she want to break the wheel? Because you just brought that up like two episodes ago, and I'm pretty sure she's fighting to restore a dynasty.
Yeah.
So
that's why,
I don't.
That's why she got killed.
Yeah. That's why she got killed because she decided to just command the wheel. And the whole idea, and then like, but okay, but I'm glad you brought it up because I'm gonna go ahead and declare partial victory. Maybe victory by decision, because I think I always said that the game itself would win. That what we'd have at the end is the same circumstances to just have the game continue forever. And I said that Dany would gain the throne, but it would cost her everything. I did not say she would die. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But it did cost her everything: her respect, her friends, her love, everything. Her dragons. She lost it all. And it would be a Pyrrhic victory, right? That's what I said.
Yeah.
And I think it's true because the show starts with a king being slayed by their closest protector, mm-hmm. right? So we have a queen slayer instead of a king slayer now, right?
Yeah.
Who and now we have a king who is chosen, not born, who doesn't want to be king.
Yeah.
And can't have children or doesn't, mm-hmm. right? It feels like the exact same place that we started with this sort of ragtag group of, you know, just leftover people from other wars. Like, yeah. that's I think we're in the exact same place that we were. I mean, look at the old maester, this scraggly old beard, mm-hmm. kind of doofy Santa. You're telling me that's not Sam in the future? Yeah, they totally, him. They
it's
totally.
It's the wire ending.
Yeah, it's the wire ending. That's what yeah. I think they do.
Nah.
So Bran, I don't know. I guess why not? Like, I don't know. I feel absolutely nothing about that.
No. Okay. So two things. I'll do this one first. So Bran getting the rule, and Sansa saying the North won't be a part of the kingdom. It kind of feels like she stole Dany's ending because she has the exact same problem Dany would have had. You're telling me nobody in the North is going to question that the girl Stark is over the North and her brother is over everything else?
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to be like, shouldn't we be following the mass male Stark who's, oh yeah, the king of everything? Like, is that not going to be a problem? And also, what happened to the other country's agency? Why isn't everybody else just like, I don't want to be a part of this? Like, Dorne or the Iron Islands? Like, shouldn't they have been like, okay, we're out too?
The Iron Islands, I guess they lost a lot in the war, so they probably don't have the clout to fight off someone if they don't let them secede. Dorne surprises me. Like, yeah, why wouldn't you want to leave? Highgard, was it Highgard? No, what's the one with the sky hole?
Oh, I don't.
this little boob sucking boy was the new king. You definitely don't want him having independent rule. So
yeah,
he's definitely staying in. But no, good. I mean, obviously that's true. I think Sansa does sort of jack her ending, but also like, in terms of Bran being the king, man, like, talk about failing up, for right? him and Jon Snow, failing up.
Yeah, the Stark boys.
Because would Bran ever accomplish anything?
He saw the Night King get killed in front of him.
He did get rid of Theon for us.
He did. He got Theon killed. And he got Hodor killed.
He got Hodor killed? he got that little blonde boy killed.
Yeah, he got him killed. Yeah, and again, did he get his uncle killed?
He did. Yeah. No, I think that might have been Jon Snow. He got his brother killed. He got Rickon killed.
Yeah, he got Rickon killed.
And he got that gypsy lady.
Yes, yeah, he got her killed too.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Fail it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay, so the second thing, and so I follow some people who are diehard book fans, and so one of them was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense for the books. And it's because the Three-Eyed Raven is a Targaryen. And he's, Yeah, in the book, like, that guy, they don't ever mention it in the show, but in the books, he's a bastard Targaryen. So he's Dany's brother. He's, like, her way older brother. And so the battle, the big conflict between the Night King is between the Night King and the Three-Eyed Raven. A Stark, an alleged Stark, and a Targaryen. That's supposed to be the battle. So the thing is, so here's the theory. It said that he could see the future. And the future he saw was himself sitting on the Iron Throne. But the only way to get there was to control Bran. So he's the one who gave Bran a vision to come to him. He came into Bran. So when Bran becomes the quote-unquote Three-Eyed Raven, he actually becomes this guy.
Whoa, so he's not Bran anymore.
He's not Bran anymore. He's actually the Three-Eyed Raven, which is this Targaryen. Oh. And that is why the Night King decided to strike now. To stop the Three-Eyed Raven. So the Night King's army was rising to come to stop him because the Three-Eyed Raven was at the end of his goal of becoming king of the Seven Kingdoms.
Why would the Night King want to stop?
Because this is their eternal battle. Like, I don't know the full details of it, but this has been a battle raged for hundreds of years, the Night King and the Three-Eyed Raven. And so he was coming to stop this from happening. That's why he's got to kill Bran. He's trying to kill the Three-Eyed Raven. Because the Three-Eyed Raven will soon be king, and if this is how the books are going to end, that's the twist, is that the Three-Eyed Raven is the one who's taken over the Iron Throne. he's played this long battle.
See, that's dope.
See, that sounds cool, right?
That sounds super cool. That's a great ending.
Yeah. But if he's just telling them, like, yeah, Bran's going to win, and they didn't talk about any of this mystical concepts that's in the books, that's not in the TV show, it makes no sense.
Yeah, no sense at all.
No sense. But if this is, like, the end game of the book, it makes total sense.
And then there's the extra sort of, I don't know if I'll call it irony, that he gets killed by a different Stark. Mm-hmm. That he gets killed by mm-hmm. a different Stark.
By a Stark, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's rich.
Yeah.
That feels thought through.
That feels like it makes sense as the ending of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it does. Maybe they learned their lessons from Lost and were like, maybe we don't go mystical mm-hmm. with our ending. We just go just super straight. Just do the Wire ending.
But this show was the one that lends itself the most to the mystical. Like,
yeah, it's already baked in already.
Like, come on. I was mad the show didn't have more magic.
Yeah, but I agree. I was here for the... That's all I was here for.
You know, like, I wanted you to go full fucking Lord of the Rings. Give it to me. Give me the good shit.
Hell yeah. I'm 100%. I'm 100%. That's why, yeah. Yeah, I've... like I said, back for the first season, I was just like... political intrigue, cool. Dragons, awesome. Zombies, badass. Everyone's having sex, I'm down. And then by the end of like middle second season, I'm like, would you motherfuckers put your dicks and titties away? Like, there's fucking an army of zombies coming. But now I'm like, nah, y'all were right to just fucking do whatever, because it wasn't that big a deal. That turned out it wasn't that hard. No.
And okay, so one more Game of Thrones point that I saw on Twitter. Uh-huh. So Lindsay Ellis. I'm a big fan of her. This is the one I made it. You watch that 20-minute video.
Yeah.
I love her. She talked about how the ending, Daenerys' death in particular, was like one of the biggest sexist tropes.
Oh, yeah. Media. Mad
just
woman?
Like, mad oh, yeah.
Woman. I thought
the
that,
mad, well, the mad woman and then the man who has to heroically kill her.
Yeah.
With all we know about domestic violence. Like, just like this painting of the man as being a hero for murdering a woman.
Yep.
It's just like, Jesus. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I would just recommend reading her thread on it, because she was fucking on point. Also, something that happens like in anime more than anything. There's like this first time it's happened like in American TV, because anime is adapting a manga,
right.
And sometimes they'll get ahead or like they'll have to do filler. Like, this is the first time we've had to experience this with a TV show.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You
good
know,
point. We had mm-hmm. talked. We had talked over text about other shows that ended.
Yes.
And the one I actually thought about, and funny you said that. The one I thought about was Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
Because Naruto almost does the opposite. Like, it's overcomplicates its ending. Like, you were doing fine. We don't need this other level. And you're only doing it because you want to have these cool fight scenes and these teleporting, like, you know, Star Wars-y single climate terrains. But you could just have Madara do that. We don't need this other thing, right?
Yeah.
But at least, though, they did close on the Naruto-Sasuke ideological battle. And what I thought is ultimately a satisfying ending, but a lot of pain in the ass shit in the middle of it for no reason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but also, when we get it, it didn't feel natural to the story. It's like they've just defeated this fucking stupid villain. Now they're going to fight again? It seems like they were past it at that point.
I bought it, but mostly because I wanted it.
Yeah.
I was willing to buy it.
I mean, I wanted it too. That's what they want. Like, we got to see these two fight again. But it didn't. And the fight's great.
The fight is great.
Yeah, the fight's great. But it just, I was like, are we here? Is this where we're at as characters right now? It was, yeah. It's tough to end something with so many moving parts and so many people having so many emotions attached to it. Like, you can't make everyone happy.
It just makes Endgame stand out. It's such stark relief. Ah, stark relief. That's two. That's number two.
Yeah. Novocaine.
Novocaine's a hell of a drug. So I forgot what it was because making that point. Oh, yeah, Endgame. Because Endgame pulled it off. Like, I think. I saw it again, and I'm like, man, this took, pulled it
it's
off.
It's better the second time.
Yeah, you can really pick up on the nuances and the fun they're having. I weirdly think, and I don't want to get sidetracked with Endgame, I was less blown away the second time, but I enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
Right, because this time I sort of knew it. The spectacle of it wasn't as impressive. But yeah, but it's good. It's a great ending, right?
It is.
They borrow
from a lot of things. Like, they borrow from Back to the Future, they borrow from Lost, right. Like, they borrow from, like, it's well crafted and it's made by TV people. Like, the Russo brothers are TV people, you know?
Right. So we had talked, if you want to go ahead and segue, other shows that have ended that we thought like did good or did terribly. There's been a lot of like terrible endings. Talk on MASH on Twitter. MASH was one of the ones he brought up. I've never seen the ending of MASH. I saw one season of MASH and that was enough for me.
Yeah.
But I was going to throw that out there. I'm going to open with one. Do you look at Veep?
I watched the first two seasons.
I fucking love Veep.
Yeah.
It has become, I think, and for me, it's one of my personal goats now because, like, it's so consistent. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the high watermarks of, like, Arrested Development Season 2 or the Conan Years of the Simpsons, you know? But it's just consistently funny. It doesn't overextend itself. It knows its voice. It knows what the kind of jokes it's going to make. It sticks to its formulas, but it does them well. And this is them too long because there's only, what, like 45 episodes, right? But it has a similar situation. I compare Selena Meyer to Daenerys actually a lot, because in terms of narrative and in terms of theme, because I actually think that Veep pulled off the ending that Game of Thrones wanted to do. Because in Veep, you're sort of cheering for Selena Meyer because she's facing sexism all the time and because she gets put up with a lot of disrespect and she's also the protagonist, so you're sort of inclined to identify with her because that's how fiction works, right? So you're sort of cheering for her, although the show does a good job reminding you, like, you probably shouldn't be. She sucks, you know? Yeah. This is the one where everybody sucks. Don't cheer for anyone. And what it understands is that kind of what Always Sunny always figured out is you can't debase everyone because now it's just like a shit fest. Somebody has to win. Because even if it's just cheering for the victor, right? Even if it's just a shot of Florida of seeing someone lose and cheering for the person defeating them because you just hate that person, they know that formula and they use it for comedy all the time. So they remind you of Selena. They have instances where she's like sympathetic and human and like she cries, but it's always funny. So you have empathy for her, right? You kind of want to see her get what she wants because she's so driven. But then you also realize, like, oh, you kind of suck in your shitty asshole for a person. And I won't reveal too much of the ending, but...
Oh, I know. I already know what happened. I read it.
Right. Yeah. But when you watch it, though...
Yeah.
My wife was sort of watching it, too. When you watch it, like, you see what's happening and that she's going to sell out everything that you ever wanted. Anything about her that you may have thought was either a sympathetic quality or a path to redemption. Like, if you just keep following this road, right? And she shuts them down systematically, sells them out brutally to get what she wants. And she gets what she wants at the end, but you're not allowed to feel good about it. You actually feel bad.
Yeah.
And it particularly, not necessarily because of her, but because for her to get it, she has to crush people you care about. Like, characters you may have come to enjoy, right? Mm-hmm. And she crushes them. She sells them out brutally to get what she wants. And she climbs this ladder, destroying everybody she loves. And she does it to win. And at the end, you're not allowed to enjoy her victory because she has hurt everybody other character. Characters that you have at one time pulled for one reason or another. Again, sometimes the reasons are just shot in front of, but you're pulling them for them anyway. And I thought it was brilliant. But my wife, at the end, right at the last second, they twist the knife one last time. The one character you think might be spared. And then you realize, like, no, they've been setting this character to fall the whole series. I've just been like hoping that it wouldn't happen, and when it happened, you're like, of course that had to happen. And it broke my wife's heart because, like, you could have just spared him. You could have sacrificed everyone else, but you could have spared him. But no, not only did I get spared, but he was the biggest.
He got it the worst.
He got it the worst for the most gain. For the most gain. No. So she benefited hugely from it. And that's what should have been Daenerys. It's sort of like the emotional narrative of us cheering for someone that we suspect maybe we shouldn't cheer for, to only have that confirmed. Like, no, you should never cheer for someone to get power because it just destroys their moral character.
Mm-hmm.
Never cheer for someone to get power when they clearly want power. Never cheer for the ambitious, right? Because they're going to disappoint you because they're ambitious. Like, they don't care about you or anyone else other than themselves. And Veep remembered that and was building it organically for five seasons. While Game of Thrones, I think, literally figured that out, like, in the last few episodes. We're like, oh, shit, we got, like, two episodes to cover that.
Yeah. They just, the last two seasons, one, didn't have enough space for this narrative, and two, it was just poorly executed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Veep, that's a great ending.
Great ending.
Okay. For me, my favorite ending is still The Shield. Now, I know that's a show. You didn't watch The Shield, right? It is by far still the standard I set for a series finale, because it is brutal.
Really?
Because The Shield, watching The Shield, Breaking Bad comes the closest to making me feel the way watching The Shield was, but The Shield was a better show. Like, The Shield legit made me uncomfortable. Like, that show gave me nightmares, for a while. Like, it was, when watching that show, you were on the edge of your seat because you never knew where they were going to go. And a lot of it was because they were one of the first shows to really push the button like this. They were the first one to use, like, the handheld cam the whole time, so it looked like it was a documentary. They said shit for they were on the first show to say shit and, like, show a lot of growth, like, nudity and things like that. But the end of that show, it builds and builds and builds, and you're like, how is this character going to get out of this situation? And the way he does it is similar to her. It's the worst possible thing you can do.
Ooh.
Without spoiling, because, like, if you can, it's a lot to watch. Watch The Shield.
How long is it?
It's probably like 5 to 6 seasons, 10 episodes each.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah. It's worth it. And they had commercials, so each episode is probably like 42 to 45 minutes, not a full hour. It's worth it. It's my favorite one, because I compare it to Breaking Bad, because it made me feel like Breaking Bad. I did not like the ending of Breaking Bad, and that's one most people universally love.
Yeah, I don't know it.
Yeah, you didn't watch Breaking Bad, or you didn't finish Breaking Bad, right?
Nah, man, it was just too many fun. Just like, it was too much fun being had killing Latinos. I was just like, I'm good. Like, this is just like, and I get that. Like, it was like what, with Death Wish or Falling Down, like, mm-hmm. white man there. Yeah, and the shit that we always bitch about brown people doing, we praise when he does it, and I was just like, mm-hmm. I can't with this show. Like, I couldn't get past that element of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it got more complex, like, enough people like it where I trust that. There's even some of the movies I just named, ultimately the villain or the hero becomes the villain because they cross the line or whatever, but they started as hero and they cross the line, whereas opposed to a brown man does the same thing, they start as villain. Like, it's mm-hmm. I couldn't get past that part of it, even though I love Bryan Cranston, and the writing quality was solid, but
he's great in it. Better Call Saul is also amazing. It's just they liked the character, they liked Walter White too much. Like, you could see that as a problem, like, because they were trying to tell that story, the hero becoming the villain, like, oh no, this guy's a monster, he was really always a monster, never should have rooted for this guy.
But they started rooting. All we did was empower him.
Exactly, but they started rooting for him. So, like, the end of Breaking Bad is kind of a happy ending for him. Like, whatever happy ending he could kind of get. Like, so a lot of people think the last episode is a dream because so much is wish fulfillment for him. Like, so many things go right for him. So much of what he wants happens. Like, it's happy ending.
If that show ends on a dream, that really is true, that is fucking cowardly.
It's not. It's not. No, it wasn't. Like, this was, like, people trying to fix the ending. Like, we tried to fix Game of Thrones earlier. This isn't really what I thought should happen, and then I'm going to fix it. And so a lot of people have said, like, oh, no, it's, like, really a dream. So, like, what you do with the Sopranos ending, except that's what he was going for.
A lot of these endings we're picking are endings that are sort of kind of devastating or sort of this forced ambivalence where we can't enjoy the thing we've been cheering for.
Mm-hmm.
The one I thought of, this is not a movie or a show, but I'm going to go with it anyway, is Last of Us.
The game, yeah?
Yeah, where he could have saved the world by sacrificing his surrogate daughter, but doesn't let her have a choice in it, just does it and then lies about it and all that.
Lies about it, yeah.
Woo, man, I can't wait for that second game to come out. But that ending was...
I don't want a second game of that. I thought it was perfect. Yeah. I thought that ending was perfect. Unless she finds out, like, she has to find out about it pretty early in the second game. Right, I just feel
immediately.
Like, immediately. I just feel like they're going to have to redeem Joel in some kind of way. It's going to be about, like, I'm afraid the game's going to end up being her finding out Joel did this awful thing and lied to her about it. And then at the end of the game, she reconciles with Joel because Joel was ultimately right to do whatever. You know, that wasn't my takeaway.
I'm hoping I'm actually hoping that sort of happens, except that Joel dies early and she has to reconcile with his memory and can never tell him. So that his last words to her are like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And can never tell him, because then that's, again, giving you what you want, but not letting you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the hell out of it. So,
I mean, those games are also fucking crazy fun. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to, I don't miss having clickers in my life, though, man. Fuck the clickers. And that was before I realized you could play games on easy.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that, man. That game fucking brutalized me.
I mean, you can play games on easy. Should you?
I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn on easy, and yes.
Really?
Although I will say this. Part of it is because I got into the course of the semester, and I rediscovered reading this semester in a big way, and just reading like crazy. I don't know why. Just been on a reading kick. But because it's easy, I find myself not compelled to, like, I haven't played it in like a month. I haven't played anything in like a month.
No.
But it makes me be like, yeah, I'm just sort of really slowly going through a story because there's no gameplay challenge. I actually thought I might, now that I have like maxed out weapons and gear because I've been playing on easy for so long, I might up the challenge rating.
Okay, yeah. I just, for me, I have to play them on the either default or hardest difficulty because video game narratives are usually terrible. Just like, they're not good. Like, Last of Us is an exception because Naughty Dog is just good at making narratives in video games. Like, the Uncharted Tales are really good, like, at making a narrative.
Most
video games are terrible at storytelling. I think it's why I like Souls so much, because their storytelling is just like, here it is, interpret it. Like, there's no cutscenes or anything like that. So, like, playing it on easy, like...
What game?
Dark Souls.
Oh, Dark Souls, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you would like to think that he's even like comprehensively difficult.
Yes. Oh no, it's the best. It's the best. It really is.
Yeah.
But just video game narratives as a whole are just kind of like, they're so, you know, except for like Metal Gear, because Metal Gear is so insane. Where I'm like, I'm captivated by this. But most video games are just like, I'm looking for the gameplay to give me that excitement because the story will not.
Anything else?
What about Adventure Time? Huh? Oh, yeah. Adventure Time was on my list.
Yeah.
Have you finished it?
No, I'm rationing it out, man. Here's what I did. I'm not ready for it to end. Like, here's what happened. I got to the end of season 8.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, here we go. Time to jump in. Or I don't even know if I got all the way to the end of season 8. I approached the end of season 8. And I panicked, and I looped back to the beginning of season 8, and I just started over. I'm going to make myself do it this summer. Yeah. I'm just not ready for it to be over, man.
When you like, do it, we'll do a segment on it.
Yeah.
It's on my list. I thought that was a good ending. That was a good ending.
Most people online seem to like it.
Yeah, it's a good ending.
Let me ask you a question, you know, spoiler-free as you can be. Because I was wondering, like, one thing I've been thinking is, how do you end this show? Like, there's never been an end goal. It's just the life of this boy and the random shit that happens to him, right?
It's the Ice King.
Oh, it's the Ice King.
The big narrative is the story of the Ice King.
Oh, okay.
The Ice King is the catalyst for the ending.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's satisfying.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. I like that because, like,
but it's satisfying. I was gonna say it's satisfying in a way where it's not fan service.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, that's a good end, because like there's always a cost for things.
Right.
It's not just like happy ending or whatever. It's good. It's well done.
Feels earned.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Because I was wondering, like, are they gonna do some kind of plot? A plot heavy final season doesn't feel like Adventure Time.
They do a lot of plot.
Yeah, but it's always scattered out throughout the season, right? It's diffuse, right?
This is a lot of things like they've sprinkled across coming together.
Yeah, I've noticed that they've been laying pieces, and but again, like the story for Finn has always been an emotional one, right?
Yes,
it's always been about this kid's maturation, right? Like famously, when that kid's voice broke, they're like, "Well, let's just let the character grow up," and it's become the story of Finn growing up. That's the story they're telling.
Yeah,
and it's been an amazing story. I just don't know how you end that story unless you do something symbolic. I was afraid.
What happens at the end of season 8? Like, where are you? I'm trying to think of where you are.
I better to tell you where I am in my rewatch.
Okay.
What just happened? The fucking grass boy is back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He's back.
Yeah. They're dealing with the grass boy.
Okay. Is he?
Susan Strong. It was the one where Susan Strong like became the sort of mech thing and had to capture Finn.
Yes. Okay.
And then somehow accidentally that releases Grass Boy from the sword because the grass sword comes together.
Okay.
And that's where I'm at in the rewatch. But first time I watched it, I got a bit past that. I don't really remember anymore.
Okay. So he doesn't have a name yet.
The Grass Boy?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Good to know. You got a lot.
I know.
They do find a way to give Finn.
One of the reasons I loop back is because I sense, oh, shit is getting important. This energy gathering. And one of the things, like, I'm going to go back because I want to make sure I'm tracking things. Mm-hmm. And two, I wasn't ready. I was just like, I can't. I'm not emotionally prepared for not having any adventure time. I'm already searching for replacements. Steven Universe? Maybe. We'll see.
I hear that's really good.
That's what I've heard, too.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The girl who used to write the original songs for
Rebecca Sugar.
That's right, Rebecca Sugar. Yeah. So I'm gonna try it. It's gonna take Adventure Time's role slot, but I'm going to stretch it out.
Okay.
But it's gonna make it to the end of summer. I've decided like I gotta catch up.
Yeah. Adventure Time goes down as one of mine. It's in my top. It's like it might be my favorite show.
Yeah, it's one of the top
it's
two.
It's like it's up there. It's like that in The Wire.
The Wire. In terms of entire shows, I want to put Arrested Development on there, but the truth is, I haven't either. Yeah. And Arrested Development, the truth is, I'm almost trying to think of there's a sort of sports analogy. The one most amazing performance of all time, season 2 of Arrested Development, is possibly the funniest thing on television ever. Like, I would put it up to any one season of any show.
Yeah.
And maybe pick it. And I'm talking all-timers, like The Simpsons and some people would say The Office, blah, blah, blah. But season 1 is good. It's not as great as season 2. Season 2 is, again, epic level. Season 3 got truncated. Season 4 was disappointing. Season 5 I haven't watched yet. So it's really sort of writing I feel like, if I'm being really honest, and I love Arrested Development, Hershey say this, it's sort of writing that one accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah, for a long time now, 20 years now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It should have, like, the end should have stayed the end. Yeah. Like, sometimes when these shows end, we just got to let them go. Because, like, really, for a good TV show, how long is a good TV show good? 3 years? 4 years? Like, how long does it really sustain that quality? Like, Cheers is probably the one that lasted high quality the longest of any show. That was another show I thought had a good ending. But most of these shows, like, they have, like, their peak. They have the 3 years that they peaked, and then it's kind of just around.
Yeah, all the writers move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the cast gets real comfortable in the role, so it's less challenging. It's like the Big Bang Theory just ended. That show always seemed lazy. Like, they were always, it always seemed like they were doing the 10th season of that show.
I agree. That show, I was like, I don't understand why people like the show, I guess, except maybe, I guess I kind of do. Because the only reason I could think of is that the people that show is representing, sort of these sort of awkward, nerdy intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
I knew so many kids like that in grad school. People that would obviously like that show because you identify with it on some level, that you're like seeing weirdos like you on TV. I just never really got it. I never thought it was funny. I thought it was fine, I guess.
Yeah. It just, it's like all their nerd jokes just seem real lazy. And it came.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, again, it came at the time where nerd culture sort of took over pop culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
There's a little bit of a zeitgeist to it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with the, yeah, I remember one time I said, and I said like, and I said this sort of derisively, I said, this show needs a catchphrase. And it did have one, it turned out. Yeah. So I felt like, oh, okay, I'm reading this show correctly. Dude, Chernobyl.
I haven't started watching that one yet.
Okay, well, start watching it, and we'll have an episode when we're done.
Okay.
Because when it's done, because you're gonna, I think you're really gonna like it.
Oh yeah, I'm also mildly obsessed with Chernobyl.
Like, oh, then you are. Yeah, ready for a deep dive, especially because the reviews I've read is that it's historically pretty accurate.
Oh wow.
Like it's pretty like it's trying, it's really trying not to take liberties. It's like everything that's there that isn't a fact is at least a reasonable interpretation. At least that's what they're going for. And from the reviews I've read, it says like, yeah, no, they're really like, you could take umbrage with their interpretation, but there's no fabrications. Like these are people, they're like, all of this has a footnote. It has a source. Like everything, like even those sources are interviews or supposed interviews, like there's very little, it's very little like gaps to fill. I don't know how true this is, but what I've gathered is that there's very few gaps for it that it chooses to fill. It sort of just leaves the spot bare. It's not trying to turn it into a plot, and there's no like adding in something to give the audience a hook, right? Like there's no love story added. Like I just watched I Am the Night, which is based on this real person, Fauna Hodel, who is the illegitimate goddaughter of George Hodel, who was a millionaire who was accused of the Black Dahlia murders. And it's her whole crazy life because she was given away. So she finds her real family and finds out that her real family are these rich, fucked up socialites that may be serial killers, right? Like, it's a real story.
Yeah.
It's a real story. She's a white girl who they put in the 50s, put her father as black so she'd be classified as mixed race so she couldn't find her way back to them. Mm. Grew up her whole life thinking she was a black woman who was just like albino.
Okay.
And then finds out that, no, you're a white lady, and it blows her mind because it's a civil rights era. And she's like, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. Yeah. Like she had to come to terms of discovering that she is the thing that she's been fighting against this whole time. Oh, it's an amazing historical story.
Yeah.
In the dramatization, they added like all this fake shit that never happened. They added a character that didn't exist, like this detective, to make it into a noir. It's entertaining, but like it's, for me, when it's not allegiant to like the veracity of the history that has been accumulated regarding this topic. When I say history, I don't mean the things that happened. I mean like narratives of history that historians have written. It takes it away from it for me. Maybe it's because I'm watching it at the same time as Chernobyl. But Chernobyl seems to be pretty fidelitous to what actually happened. At least that's what the reviews are saying.
Okay.
I have no idea how close we came to fucking the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Chernobyl was fucking a big fucking deal.
Yeah. Like, dude, like hours away from it.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, let's bounce on that one because we got a fourth quarter coming up.
Yeah, right, what's the score?
It's 3 points. It's 75-72.
It's we've been talking forever. All right, my bad. Yeah. All right, cool. No, yeah. So what's the score again? My bad.
75-72.
Fourth quarter coming up?
Yeah, it's about the end of the third.
All right, go Raps.
Yeah. I'm going. Oh yeah, this is, we got to bet on this. I already won the other one.
Yeah, you already won the one. Wait. So are we betting now?
No, we bet. Remember me, you, and Roy. Y'all, if the Bucks make the finals, I get a shot. If the Raptors make the finals, you get a shot.
That's right.
And yes, Roy picked Boston, so yeah.
And I already owe you a beer for Denver and Toronto that make it. Mm-hmm. Man, I thought the door was open.
It was. I thought the door was open. Then they got swept.
And then they got swept. Just to spite me.
They got swept.
Just
man.
To spite
got,
me.
Ooh, yeah.
Well played, Failblazers.
But I will say this. Well, let's a little NBA before we go. I feel less confident in the Bucks winning the title now.
I've never felt confident in
them. I was very, very confident in winning the title. I'm still picking them because I'm not backing down. I think they're a great team, and I think this is going to be where they show if they got the championship medal in them.
I'm watching because I think Kawhi is making an argument for being the best player in the NBA right now. Like, motherfuckers forgot about Kawhi. And he's been gone. It's early to say that. Like, he doesn't deserve that yet.
They won a title. He's got a real claim to that.
Yeah, but he's also got a real claim to... I think he's already made the claim, like, I'm not yet, but I might be.
I don't know, man. Steph's been fucking phenomenal.
That's true. But that's kind of what I want to see. Because what did they do to beat the Bucks is they sicked Kawhi on Giannis.
Yeah.
I want to see if Kawhi can shut down Steph. What if he can? If anybody else could. You're not willing to dismiss it, right?
I'm not. It's just what Steph does. What Steph is good at is so high variance, you know? Like, he's good at hitting threes, so, like, that gives him a lot of extra points. He's good at running. Like, he's not a one-on-one guy, which is what Kawhi would shut him down at. Like, I would love to see it. But if I don't think Durant's going to be a factor in the finals. Klay will be, and Draymond will be. Like, if Kawhi's going to guard anybody, he probably needs to be guarding fucking Draymond right now.
They probably start him on Draymond.
Because Draymond is really what the whole offense is running through right now.
Right, right. I think they start him on Draymond, and then they switch him to Steph when they're not together.
Yeah.
And I actually think that between Bledsoe and Middleton, they're going to, I won't say neutralize Klay, but contain him.
Well, Bledsoe's not getting any time now. Like, or Bledsoe's like playing himself off the court. So
yeah, but you know,
be relying on George Hill on Steph.
A new series, they'll give him a chance. They'll give him a game. He had two awesome series. You give a guy has a bad series, you chalk it up to a bad matchup. You give him a second chance to redeem himself, but you put him on a short lease. But it's also Budenholzer. He won.
Yeah. They got to win this game because I think going back into Toronto down, they're done.
Agreed. I think they're done. I'm going Toronto. I'm getting my shot.
Ooh, I think Toronto gets swept, though.
I think both these teams get swept.
I think the Bucks have a chance. Like, I think the Bucks are like, they play so much like the Rockets.
Yeah.
Like the Rockets. I think they have the right counter for the Warriors.
That's
because
they're
long and they can switch, and they got a guy in Giannis where they just spread, but their guys got to make shots, and that's why they might lose this series, because their guys aren't making shots. But I think they have the blueprint to beat the Warriors. I think the Raptors don't. I think the Raptors rely too much on Kawhi, and the Warriors have the best defense in the playoffs
right now. I agree 100%. The Bucks are basically taller Rockets, which is scary, but I've been saying this for months. I know I'm starting to be a dead horse, but the Raptors have Kawhi, man. Like, I am into Kawhi. I'm also just sort of falling for Kawhi.
Yeah. Because he's no longer a Spur.
Yep. I bought my Kawhi Leonard jersey with glee when he left that team. I got it for like $12.
Well, he'll be a Clipper soon enough.
Yeah. Sorry. All right, I'm going to watch the end of the game. All right. We fought so hard.